WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camps for ransom, the microphone phantom.
This Saturday, the last time, is now. We will never see the never seen 17 again. But we're here to talk about his final match. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not, you know, Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. Subscribe for free. It's that simple. Use your creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer. Joined as always by the intern.
But we may see him again, just not in a match or in the ring.
Who knows if we see him again?
We may see him being enshrined, to say the least.
One day.
Well, if rumors are to be suspected, it might be soon.
Who knows? Do you really believe everything you see on the internet, Brent?
Oh, of course. I mean, everything's accurate. His last opponent's going to be Edge.
Yep, apparently it's still Edge.
And Stone Cold.
And Stone Cold in a triple threat. Chris Jericho will be the ref. CM Punk on commentary.
He even gets to wear the blazer.
He gets to wear the blazer. All the things. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I just happened to be hanging out in the background listening to you guys. And I don't know why you haven't got it figured out yet. John Cena's last match with WWE is this coming Saturday night. Taking on the winner of that series of matches. Let's talk about it.
The tournament. But,
yeah, the tournament. His debut in AEW is January 7th, 2026. So, you know, he'll have that match against Edge. John Cena's interpromotional farewell tour kicks off.
You say this, but there is a corner of the internet who will probably think that's true.
There's a corner of the internet.
Who does?
There's a corner of the internet, very small right now, but it'll grow, and it's going to not quite become viral, but it'll get close. That they're going to wind up speculating that that's exactly what's going to happen.
They probably already are.
Yeah, newsflash, nah.
I mean, stranger things has happened because, you know, if you look at it, WWE had Sting, and his farewell run in WWE didn't work so well, so he went to AEW and had the best run of his career.
Where he didn't put a single fucking person over.
Everyone's been shitting on this last run of John Cena, so Tony can just do it better.
Yeah, because Tony absolutely would do it. I mean, he's done wonders with the women's... I mean, the tag division recently has been...
Take three?
Okada? Maybe Okada's the good thing that he's done.
Has he really done anything good with Okada?
Thrown belts on him. And the funniest thing in the world is everyone is now calling out his shit because of what happened at the start of the tournament.
Of course.
Well, did you read about that?
I did.
So, for those of you who don't know, Kazuchika Okada walked out with only the International Championship when he began his run through the Continental Classic. That is because he has surrendered the Continental Championship because it is held by the winner of this tournament. So yes. Everyone now speculates, wait, so what exactly does that mean for the Unified Championship? That's right, you now realize it was bullshit.
It's just called a Unified Championship. It's not actually a Unified Championship.
No, but they had a belt, and he got to carry it around, and everything, and it's on the fucking roster page as a championship, but now everyone's like, but wait, what about the Unified? It's like, yeah, now you realize the issue with this.
So what you're saying to me is that on January, what was it, 7th? The Never Seen 17 will become the next Unified Continental International Champion?
No, because he won't win the Continental Championship. He's not in the tournament.
But he's John Cena. He could win anything.
Unlike John Moxley.
Anyway, not here to talk about AEW. We're here to talk about John Cena's final match, which is this Saturday, live on Peacock. Check your local listings for time. I'm not sure what time. I don't know if it's 8 or 7. I have not seen. Probably should see. Brent's going to look it up as we talk about it, because we will be live with the Rack Extra Reviews John Cena's final match this Saturday, whenever it ends, which is probably 2 hours after the time that Brent's about to give me.
It is 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The quote-unquote event starts at 7:30 Eastern, so probably a dark match before the actual...
Yeah, so the live broadcast...
match beforehand.
Yeah, the live broadcast starts...
8 p.m.
Eastern. So we'll be live at 10 Eastern, because Saturday night's main event usually only goes 2 hours on Saturday. But John Cena's final match, where he will face the winner of the Last Time Is Now tournament, shocker, Gunther.
Everyone's so pissed off that LA Knight did not win. Or at least that portion of the internet is.
We've known that Gunther is winning for 7 weeks now.
Right, but the thing is you put LA Knight in the finals, and, you know, he's never given the opportunity to really do anything, at least according to those fans.
Never do anything. Okay. That's
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the first question I ask is this the right opponent? Because John Cena's father doesn't think so.
Who else are you going to put him up against?
Drew McIntyre.
Who?
Drew McIntyre, The Rock.
See, here's the thing. If you were going to do this another way, the one person who should be taking out John Cena is like Bron Breakker. Someone who you really want to strap a rocket to that is young and upcoming and can hold over the head, you know, he basically took out John Cena to end his career.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be one of those things where, like, kind of like the match with Solo Sikoa, if you wanted to do it in a certain way, you have Bron deliver like 3 of his dead sprint spears in the ring to put the nail in the coffin. Because that's one of those things where it's like, you have him just annihilate John Cena on the way out. And you try to have him be like, because Bron has started to kind of embrace the cockiness. He started to embrace the hatred. And, I mean, he cut a really good promo on Monday night. He could just look at John laying on the mat and just go, you know, your time is done, my time is now, and just walk away. And that's your lasting image, is him standing over a broken John Cena.
I mean,
and
that
then
would
John
be
gets to address his crowd.
I mean, that would be a great image. That would be passing the torch. But then you take it, you look at it, go, all right, let's put Braun Breaker in that spot. They've been shooting him to the main event for the world title, but now with a sidetrack to John Cena. So that there's going to be that section of fan base that goes, but what about the world title for Braun Breaker?
Well, here's the thing. You could still have Braun going for the world title, and it's just, you know, he looks at Punk and goes, I took him out. You know, you ran off with the belt the one time, but he was still there. After I got done with him, he couldn't even, you know, he couldn't get away. What do you think I'm going to do to you now?
I don't disagree. I think Braun Breaker would have been a good opponent, but they would chose Gunther, Tim.
I got no issue with them choosing Gunther, but I'm disappointed that it's not for that title that John lost back to Dominic.
I don't think the title would need to be involved.
It's not going to be involved. That's what I'm just saying.
I know. I'm saying I didn't think it would even need to be involved.
Well, I brought it up. How long ago did I bring that up? 2 weeks ago, Ron?
Don't ask me.
I think it was two weeks ago when we're doing the preview for Survivor Series, that it would make sense booking-wise, looking back and coming forward. It's, you know, the journey comes full circle. Gunther regains that title that he had for 666 days, as devilish as that may sound.
I was in the camp of if Cena won the belt, when he won the belt, yeah, make it for the title. But I'm also with Brent, it didn't need to be involved, but if you had it on Cena, let's finish that story and have Cena go out on a mini winning streak before eventually losing to Gunther.
Yeah.
But now, he's on a losing streak now, so it's kind of like,
Here's the question. If he's going to go out on his back like everybody's expecting him to do, because you do the honors when you retire, how does that help Gunther? At the same time, if he winds up getting booked to win like they did with Trish in her last match ever before she came back again and again and again, is it going to wind up hurting Gunther to lose to John Cena in Cena's last match? No, I don't think so, because Gunther has been elevated far enough now that he can take a loss like that and not lose anything. Whereas right now, yeah, I get it. LA Knight is the internet darling, and hey, I'm a fan of LA Knight, and I'd like to see him get more of a push and chalk up a few more victories than he's been booked to. But if they have seen a book to win his final match, that definitely would be detrimental to LA Knight. I mean, you've got the start of a push, it gets stalled. Start of a push, it gets stalled. Start of a push, it gets stalled. This would do more than stall it. So in that situation, I'm holding my opinion until the match on Saturday night.
So the story is, you say John Cena does the honors and goes out on his back. Gunther, though, wants to end John Cena's story, his final match, by making John Cena tap out. Now, does that do anything for Gunther if he makes the great John Cena tap out in his final match?
No, it gives him bragging rights for 3 months. Because after 3 months, people aren't going to care anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a big thing of John never tapped in his career.
Once, I think. Once.
Did he?
Yep, he did tap out once.
But it's like 20 years ago, so that's what the internet told me, again.
Oh yeah, very, very early on to Jericho, Benoit, and twice to Angle.
Okay, so more than one. But that was early on. That wasn't the John Cena. That was just a guy named John Cena.
Yeah, that's back when they could still see him.
But yeah, that if you have Gunther. And here's the other thing that Rock may touch on, but is important to bring up. This will have been the second quote-unquote legend that Gunther will have taken out within a year.
Within 6 months.
Yeah, that's a huge feather in the cap of that, because he has taken down essentially the poster child for two wrestling companies.
That's a fair point.
Contractual obligations, yeah.
I don't think that's just a they forget 3 months from now. That becomes your highlight reel, is I've retired Goldberg. I've retired Cena. He can look at someone like an AJ Styles or Chris Jericho and be like, you're next on the list because I'm cleaning up the ring.
Oh, it's a new streak of a different sort. Instead of winning all the time at WrestleMania, it's retiring all the all the senior wrestlers.
But I mean, that's something that could be like AJ Styles is getting ready to leave, and it's like Gunther's just sitting there waiting, going, "I'm gonna be your last." And now you've got that in AJ's head. I'm like, oh shit, I'm facing the guy that has only lost like two or three times.
They gave some stat on SmackDown where he rarely loses in a match that has no championship on the line.
Right. He lost to Cody in a champion versus champion match. He lost to Jey Uso with a title on the line and Sami Zayn with a title on the line.
That's it. Gunther is one of the most protected wrestlers in WWE.
Which is also why he didn't need the IC title on him for this, because it's like, okay, you put the IC title on him, well, now it's just held hostage again. Because I understand the idea of like, okay, Cena had it, and we can get him to the end, and then he loses it to Gunther. But the question becomes, well, what happens after that point? Well, now Gunther has it, and he's stuck with the IC title. Because you can't just have him lose to anyone with that, because, as we just touched on, he now has a legacy of he only loses really in big spots, and he just retired John Cena to get that belt. Gonna tell me he's going to lose it to Aleister Black on a random SmackDown or, you know, a PLE? Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
And if Gunther beats Cena, it becomes that kind of Brock level thing where, like, if you beat Brock Lesnar, now it's like, okay, that means something. Because when Roman was able to get one over on him, it was that signal of like, okay, yeah, WWE has the faith in Roman because Brock put him over essentially in that moment. Because again, Brock doesn't lose a lot either.
Brock loses.
I actually want to see a Brock and Gunther match.
We could get it. WrestleMania would be a good spot.
How great would it be after the match is over, Gunther wins and he's celebrating? You hear the music, and out comes the beast.
Nah, too soon.
And clears out Cena with a final move.
No.
And then attacks Gunther to set up your WrestleMania match.
That is awful booking.
It is. It's absolutely terrible. But I wouldn't put it past them.
Nah, because they're going to let Cena talk.
I was going to say, for this, they're going to time it out right so that you don't pull a Goldberg. And Cena will get his moment to talk. If it's on camera, cool. If it's off camera and just for those people that it's recorded for, fantastic.
And since
it wasn't in the contract that they had to give Goldberg any time to talk afterwards.
Also, it's on Peacock. They have wiggle room.
Well, so was Goldberg's.
No, it wasn't.
Was it only on NBC?
It was on both NBC and Peacock, but they run the same feed. This is only on Peacock. So you have the extra 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you possibly need. It's not a hard out like network television, which is good. So if Cena wants to talk, Cena's going to talk.
And Bill's going to get pissed off that he didn't get that moment as well.
What?
And 10 years from now, everybody's going to be talking about how bitter Goldberg is for not letting it go and moving on already.
Everyone's talking about how bitter Goldberg is right now and hasn't moved on because some girl beat his streak, quote, Bill Goldberg. Now, before we get to the prediction of the last match, we've been told by John Cena this is the night that's going to celebrate the next generation, because when he came in, he fought a veteran, Kurt Angle, in his first match.
Aggression.
Ruthless aggression gave them the spotlight. And now, WWE is giving spotlight to NXT talent at the request of John Cena. Exhibition match, they're calling them. Mm-hmm. First time they've called a WWE match an exhibition. But here we are.
I believe it has been announced so far.
It is the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, against the new NXT champion, Oba Femi.
Yep. Three-time WWE or NXT champion, Oba Femi.
And what was the other one?
It is Bayley going against Sol Ruka.
Okay. What do we think about those two exhibition matches? What are you surprised they're doing Cody Oba as the match?
I thought going when they announced that Oba, or you know, the winner of the NXT Championship match at Deadline was going to face Cody, I looked at that and went, all right, we're getting Ricky Saints. Let's go. Cody gets to face his boy. And, yeah, we're going to totally get that. And I saw Oba Femi win, and I went, oh, that fucking changes everything.
Big spot for him.
It's a big spot for him. But from the standpoint of the match itself, I feel like you've written yourself into a corner here.
You have.
Because you've got Cody, who is your quarterback on the main roster. He is your undisputed WWE champion. He's supposed to be looking strong, especially as you're going on the road to WrestleMania, and it looks like possibly an inevitable feud with a tribal chief.
Put the ones up. Acknowledge him.
Put your ones up out in the. Put your ones up to the sky. You also have Obafemi, who for many people this is his first appearance that you're going to get like on true WWE, and he's being marketed as the ruler, the unstoppable juggernaut that is in NXT. Neither of them can really afford this loss, in my opinion, because if Oba loses, I understand that Ricky took him down before. I understand that he's lost to, what the fuck is his name that just came out? Tony D'Angelo. Because that's where I think D'Angelo got the North American title from, was from Femi. The thing with that is, it was all on NXT. It's all kind of protected by that halo of ignorance of a lot of WWE fans that may not watch NXT and be like, oh, who's this big guy? And he's supposed to be a powerhouse, so he should be throwing Cody around this entire match. But if he loses, it's, oh, Cody beat him. Okay.
First impressions.
Hmm?
First impressions matter.
Yeah. You want a perfect example of that? Karrion Kross. First example of him on the main roster went how well, Rock?
I couldn't even tell you how bad it went.
Kind of like a lead balloon not made by Mythbusters.
Because he came out in that gladiator outfit, and he fought Jeff Hardy, and oh my god, it went sideways.
Yeah, and the internet hated it.
And he never fully recovered from it. I mean, he came back with the Triple H hire, and you got a little bit more of like what Kross truly was in NXT during that part of the run, but still, he hurt from that moment. And if you're supposed to be this big powerhouse coming from NXT and your first match you lose to Cody, I get it's Cody Rhodes, but it's still a loss on Saturday Night's Main Event. You're going to be, okay, you're just an NXT guy.
But here's the thing. Will the match count? Because
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the match counts. It's still what people saw.
I understand this, but that's why they're calling an exhibition.
I get that. And it's the same thing with Gunther and Cody when they fought for the titles. Yeah, titles weren't on the line. This is all just, cool. You get to say you won the Saudi belt and you get a ring that, as was joked earlier for other instances, people will forget about in 3 weeks because no one talks about that champion, that ring / championship / whatever until it's crown jewel time.
Pretty much the gaudiest ring I've ever seen.
I don't know. Dynamite Diamond Ring's pretty gaudy itself. But it's that thing of, I understand the exhibition part of it. I understand, like, okay, it doesn't really matter. So if he loses, cool. It's not in the standings, yay. But it's still, as I said, people will look at it and go, yep, the main roster debut. Because, technically this is a debut, whether or not he's up there full time. Obafemi lost to Cody. And when he eventually comes up in the next 6 months, it'll be, again, well, if he loses to Cody here, it kind of hurts. But if he beats Cody, cool. Now Cody's taking a loss against an NXT guy.
What if Cody takes the
Cody's
loss?
Cody's better set up to eat the loss than Obafemi is, I think.
Oh, I understand that, and I think it's a big feather in the cap of Obafemi if and hopefully when he pulls this off. But it's still, how do you explain that?
Drew McIntyre, that's how.
It has to be some kind of it has to be some kind of smosh, some kind of interference. It can't be the fact that.
A non-finish thanks to interference by Drew, which sets up their next and potentially final match against each other. The only other way to protect them both is a double countout.
And that would just kill the crowd.
And that would you do not do a double countout on a Saturday night main event.
I think even a Drew McIntyre interruption kills the crowd.
No,
because you get heat. Not. You get heat on that because when you see the double countout finishes, the crowd just goes, eh.
I get that. I'm just saying, when you have these two facing off and you do the run in by Drew or someone to screw with the match, I think it deflates the feeling of that, because it's like, oh god damn it again. Because that's your expectation looking at this is, okay, someone's going to run in. It's not even going to be a real finish. All right. And I think in that, it doesn't help Femi at all.
It doesn't hurt him.
But you
it
want
doesn't
him
do
in
him
something.
Any favors. It may, to be on your side here, it may not do him any favors. But on the other side of that coin, it doesn't hurt him. And who said it? They painted themselves into a bit of a corner here.
I think if you put Obafemi in this match, he needs to win it. And I mean,
you got to win versus better win.
And he needs to win clean, in my opinion. Don't have Drew come out. If you want Drew to come out after the match. Smack Cody while he's down.
We're gonna remain in different camps with that. And
that's fine. But
if the match that they wind up having on Saturday, you know, like the exhibition, winds up being off the hook and the crowd really gets into it, and then you get that 50-50 split that is so much fun. Let's go, Cody, Obafemi, or whatever. Something like that. To have that spoiled by a pissy reason, in this case, works. And it does set up that next match at the same time. And you, like you said, a few months later from now, when they do bring him up full time, Drew suddenly got another target on his back, especially huge and more, even more so important if Drew beats Cody and wins the title.
Man, this question. What if Drew interferes, causing a DQ, and then as Drew is celebrating, taking out Cody, Oba lays out Drew, standing tall at the end of it?
That more than works for me. I could live with that booking and not say a peep.
That finish only works. That moment only works is if Oba's called up right away.
This can't be a linger of 6 months of like Drew caused the DQ finish. Cody's laid out, Oba lays him down, and then he goes back to NXT for half a year until WrestleMania.
No, your window is 4 to 6 weeks if you pull that.
Which will be very hard with him being the NXT champion.
Well, they've done it before. They brought the NXT champion up, or they've had a fluke loss and then brought him up.
I mean, you can also buy yourself 3 weeks because holidays.
No.
You really don't jumpstart back anything of importance until the 1st of January.
No, here's my question about this scenario. You have Drew cause the DQ. Why not have Ricky Saints as the person then?
What was the point of having Oba pick up the win
and get into this match if you're just going to do a DQ finish? Because at that point, the winner doesn't matter.
It should have been Ricky Saints because he would have been the guy who could eat the loss. But it also shows they see a lot in Obafemi and they want to put him in there.
Right, which is why, in my opinion, it's more of the case of he needs to win this if you're trying to feature him in that way. A DQ finish, cool, you got him on TV, you got him a bit of time, all right, sweet. To me, that exclamation point is he picks up a win, and not in a schmoz way, but like he picks up a win because that will get everyone to go, holy shit, that guy.
So, before we get it, we'll just do them all in a row in a minute.
Yeah.
Bailey and Sol Ruka should be a solid match.
It's interesting they went with Ruka because of what they've been doing recently with her in terms of she was the double champ. She's now lost both. She has a bit of that kind of, I'm trying to think of the best word to say here. She has some issues going on with her tag team partner.
She does.
And you're getting this chance, and I get, again, this is an exhibition, essentially. It's not necessarily a thing. But the difference here is we've seen Ruka on the roster already. She's fought for the women's tag titles on WWE television. Yes. So there's a bit more establishment with her. And if you've read things recently from Bailey, she's looking ahead at what some of her future options are, not in terms of other companies, but in terms of roles she may want in the, you know, when she's finished in the ring. And she's talking about producing and, you know, maybe being involved with helping younger talent. In terms of, you know, maybe a school, but I think it's more like behind the scenes, helping them develop when they're already up and putting them in good spots. And so I think a match like this kind of gives her a bit of a moment to be, you know, to delve into that a little bit more and make someone. Right. And Cole is one of those people that, I mean, if you've watched NXT for a while, you can tell they've been really high on, and they see bigger things for her, including on the main roster.
If she could stay healthy, they have a lot there with her.
Yeah, the problem is she is very, very tall, very lanky, and with her style, puts her in positions of possibly injuring some of those lanky bits, as we've seen.
Yeah.
I know that her knee injury right now is storyline, but it's one of those things where you go, nah, that's very believable with her right now. And you're afraid that she's going to turn into something like, you know, a Charlotte, or, you know, she's going to have those extended injuries that are going to put her out for a long bit of time. Mm-hmm. Now, her moveset will absolutely get people behind her, unless you do something weird and turn her. But, like, her finisher gets everyone to pop every time. That Soul Snatcher is just a fan's dream to see.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. What do we think? Maybe one? Because it's two-ish hours. You would assume John gets the final,
what, 440? John's put in the last spot because that gets you the match and his farewell speech.
Yes, John's what, 45 minutes? Last 45?
Yeah, with entrances, with match.
Hoopla and all, packages and stuff.
Rigmarole of, you know, what happens at the very end, because it'll probably be a couple of, like, 2 or 3 minutes before you get to the speech after the match. You'll have that moment where he's like, you know, if he is defeated, he's kind of sitting there on the mat and the fans are giving him that cheer, and then he'll get up and do the wave, and then it'll be, okay, we get people in the ring, he says his piece, all right, peace.
So we got a women's match, we got men's singles tag?
Probably have one more match.
A tag of some sort, maybe?
We've got something involved, because it's like you've got to feature Raw, because Bayley is Raw.
No, she's not kind of. She is a Raw talent. So you got Raw, you got SmackDown. Maybe do an NXT tag team. I don't know.
Who do you have from NXT as the tag team aside from Dark State?
Hank and Tank?
They haven't been seen for a while, and I believe one of them's hurt.
Or are they in Japan? I'm not sure.
We'll say Hank and Tank are out. You've already moved up Fraxium, who were the perennial NXT tag team for a while.
Yeah.
This would have been a great spot for them for that.
It would have been, if they had thought of it before.
Yeah, but you've already had them up on the main roster for 6 months. They've been featured at WrestleMania. It's kind of...
Yeah, you can't really, Dark State...
Who would be the tag team for that? Because if you're going to do... Because you need, a named WWE tag team to go against them, and I don't think it's going to be the Usos. I don't think it's going to be...
OTM. I don't know about OTM, because I don't know what they see. Hank and Tank are returning this week. I mean, you could do that. You could do Hank and Tank. DIY, New Day, Gun, Motor City Machine Guns. Any of them would work. It'd be a good spotlight.
It's wrong. I'd want Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry doing what?
I don't know. Somehow featured. Somehow getting a match.
Against?
If anything, what you could do... Okay, so if we do them, it would be a mixed tag. Maybe a Dom and Liv?
Dom and Liv versus Joe and Thea?
Because that way you get some of the young talent featured, and you have...
I don't know if you put Dom on Cena. Story-wise, I don't think you put Dom on the Cena last show.
Right.
Maybe do, I mean, Candice and Johnny versus Hendry and Thea. That would fill your quota.
Or the other one that would be interesting. I was going to say you have another mixed thing, but the problem is it's already an NXT and a main roster. Although technically she's been down on NXT more recently. You have Ethan and Chelsea sitting out there as well.
They just did that match.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, Ethan and Chelsea maybe against, a Johnny and Candice, as opposed to a Hendry.
No, that's not taking it, that's not spotlighting youth. There's nothing youthful about Ethan Page.
Although he is probably coming up in the next 6 months as well.
Yeah, he'll be up soon. I don't know. All right, let's go through what we know, though. It is Bayley and Sol Ruka. Who win, Tim?
Bayley right now is not in the same category as Cody Femi.
Oba Femi.
Thank you, Oba Femi. Or Gunther. Or John Cena. I think that she could take the loss here.
So you're going Ruka?
I think so, Ruka. I, I don't see any negativity one way or the other. Sol Ruka gets the win.
Right.
Part of me sees what Tim is saying, and part of me is like, you need the WWE person to pick up a win somewhere, and I can see Bayley pick up a win here. Part of me is also like, this is where you pull the trigger for the breakup. This is where you have Zarya cost Ruka, and it becomes, I've taken everything away from you now. You lost your titles. You know, you put me at arm's length, and now I'm, you know, we're done. And you have her destroy Ruka on the main roster and build out to the, you know, the last feud for them before either one or both decide to make the jump. I think Zarya is probably going to stay down in order to percolate a little bit more without having Ruka and some of the other folk that were there when she first came up. She had the unenviable spot of coming in with the international talent of Julia and Stephanie Vaquer and was the number three of that group.
So you're going?
I'm going to go Bayley picks up the win.
As a result of interference.
There may be, in this case, I would say the shenanigans fit a bit more than, say, Femi and Rhodes in a champion versus champion style thing.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Bayley would probably pitch herself to lose.
Absolutely. I think Bayley's... what I think is Bayley's going to do that. I think creative may go, guys, like, Bayley, I understand that. That's great. We have a little bit of a bigger picture here. But this could also play into the fact of, you know, Bayley's kind of has some foes on the main roster that could screw her here. Because you've got her and Lyra in the tag division, but they've run afoul of the Judgment Day and of the Kabuki Warriors recently.
That they have. All right, so that's one out of the books. Cody and Oba. Tim?
Oh, I'm really stuck on a non-finish with this one.
So no winner.
I'm really stuck on that at this point in time. Likely scenario, Drew comes out and we see all this happen. But there are other potential factors in play that we touched on that could happen that would advance storylines and create new ones and potentially make people. So based on that, yeah, I've got to say shenanigans, no winner.
Right.
I'm going to pick my heart here, and I'm going to pick the fact of he's facing someone who I think is willing to put someone over for the greater good because he sees kind of more of the future. And I think that was part of, you know, why certain choices were made in the other company when they had the thing where he wouldn't defend or he wouldn't go after the main title anymore because of that one stip. I could see him take the loss here for that greater idea of like, we want to build him for the main roster. So do it here in a quote exhibition.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Oba Femi.
Now for the last time, the Never Seen 17 competes against Gunther. Who wins, Tim?
Ask Brent first.
No, I asked you.
I need you to ask Brent.
We've heard Brent's thoughts. I need your pick now.
I need Brent's pick first.
Why?
Because it's what I need.
Screw it, I'll go first. I don't care. As much as I want, and as much as it would be funny for Lul, Cena wins. I think what you could do is you do the Austin 13, or yeah, it was 13, right? The Bret Hart match.
Yeah, but yeah. So Cena's good. So a gusher. We're gonna have a gusher.
Cena passes out rather than taps. Gunther still picks up the win. He still retires Cena, but Cena doesn't. Gunther does not get the satisfaction of Cena tapping, and part of that could eat at him moving forward. Because his whole thing is, I want to make him tap. I want him to quit. And it's the whole thing of like, you know, he never gave up, and it pisses Gunther off the fact that, like, in the last match, he couldn't do it, even though he still retired the legend.
Does that sway you in any way now, Tim?
Absolutely not. I'm calling for a scenario where they're going to let Cena retire a winner. That's what I'm calling.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong as shit, but I don't care.
No, I'm kind of leaning that way. I don't know. We talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a, it was like 30-70 that he's losing. 50-50. There's a chance he wins.
There's a chance anytime Cena gets in the ring, he wins.
I mean, it's a 50-50, yeah. No matter what. But
don't get me wrong. I absolutely would not hate the scenario that Brent put forward with them ripping a page out of WrestleMania 13, Brett and Austin. And I'd be perfectly okay with that. But I'm just, it's such a rare thing for anybody to retire after winning their final match. The way they've treated Cena for his last run here, I can feel it happening.
It's something about the feel-good moment. I think that's what you can buy into with this one, mm-hmm. with Cena winning. Like, Trish winning her last one, that was middle of the card. So it wasn't like, you know, it happened, but it was like, it wasn't the final moment. Gunther winning, ending the show, and then Cena gets up dramatically. It could happen. Or Cena winning, crowd pops huge. And glad they spent the $1,000 they spent on ringside tickets. We shall...
Now, here's the other thing. If Cena were to lock in the STF and
have Gunther tap.
Gunther taps. But here's the thing. We've seen it before. WrestleMania 41. Remember, Gunther tapped to Jay.
He did.
So, if he taps to Cena...
There's precedent that has already been set.
Right. It's not the whole thing Gunther won't tap in a situation. But it could also be that's what you could have the fans chant at him moving forward. And you Gunther can't get the retribution he wants because now Cena's gone. What does that do to the psyche of someone like Gunther if it's you tapped out to Cena and now he's gone. He's away. It would be a very interesting thing to see.
That it will. Next, this Saturday, live on Peacock, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, John Cena's last match at Saturday's main event. Really intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will do it for another edition of WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio Live. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The wonky schedule continues with no Raw post show tomorrow night. Because we're going to watch the Eagles lose together.
Oh,
if the Eagles lose, I'm going to laugh.
We're all watching the Eagles lose together. The Chargers. We're all going to watch them lose together tomorrow night.
Watch
them
lose to the Chargers? Really?
Yeah, we're setting expectations low. And so if they win, it's a good thing. We're already preparing.
Yeah, your double blind reverse isn't working.
So we're trying. We're trying to will a win. But we're watching the Eagles lose tomorrow night, so no post show. But we're live Thursday. We're back on a Thursday for the Rack. 10 p.m. Eastern to talk about Saturday night's main event and all news you can handle at the Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. But you get a double dose of the Rack because Saturday, instead of no CB radio, because we spent our production budget, the Rack Extra Reviews, John Cena's last match, the Saturday night's main event review, will be live once the show ends. We'll be live to talk about it, so about 10 p.m. Eastern to talk all things. But you can check out what we spent our budget on. Episode 899, the Intern's Choice Awards. You can check out last night's A Decade Plus 8, a strong 900 episode to CB Radio, in case you missed us. That's all available. So CB Radio will be live a week from Saturday, but we'll be live next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Saturday night's main event and John Cena's final match. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You go to Instagram, Instagram.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can check out YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. You can do all those things. When you check out 40 Days of John Cena, available noon Eastern on all those social channels as we lead up to the final day of John Cena's career. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim has socials.
Yeah, you can follow me on X, also known and still called Twitter, at Flames Forums. Follow me, because I post stuff every day, and it's worth it. Trust me.
Brian?
Unlike John Cena, you can see me on social media sites such as Twitter, X/Thread/Instagram/BlueSky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Check. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button. Support the channel for free. You can use credit card Rock and Sock at the Fortnite item shop. When you buy your battle pass that's full of Back to the Future, Kill Bill, and more. There's Danny Phantom, whatever that is, in the item shop. And there's a lot more coming. Use the code hashtag epic partner. Tim?
Yes?
That's your cue to
tell everybody to go get your homework done, brush your teeth, and go to bed because we're finished and you've got school tomorrow.
Yes.
Exactly. That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night for the review show.
WildTalkRadio.com.